morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 28th. Joining us this morning. Did I say April? You know, I left here last night and didn't take care of a whole bunch of things I was supposed to take care of, also just normal. August. They both start with A. At least I got that right. And I got the 28th right. Hey, that's two out of three, guys. Come on. Oh, from the... Are you still interim?
Still interim.
All right. Still interim. All right. Still interim city manager Merritt Perry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Why do they say that? Oh. Is bankrupt. in sequence, it's in alphabetical order. Where did we get the word bankrupt? Any idea?
Ruptured bank.
From Italy, where money changers once placed the money they had lent on a bench called a banca. If one of these money changers was unable to continue in business, his counter was destroyed and so became bancarrota, rota meaning broken. Because of this practice, the term was applied to the money changer himself, who was he was said to be a bancarrota or bankrupt. That's almost like logical, isn't it?
It is.
If you know Italian. Yeah. You come from German stock, it doesn't carry a lot of weight. Good morning. Made it through summertime almost, huh?
Yeah, we had a lot of events. They all went off successfully.
You know, I've never had anybody in that chair say, you know, it really sucked this year.
We don't talk about those things.
Yeah. I know it was a different summer. Obviously, the smoke impacting, you know, all of Northern California's on fire. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll go somewhere else this year. Okay, it'll be interesting to see what the tourist numbers come in at. But what does your intuition say? An okay summer, a great summer, somewhere in between?
You know, it seems like an average summer. It seems like the same number of people around, and things seem pretty darn normal to me. We had pretty good attendance at some of our events. It was really nice to see, you know, going a month or so back, the 3rd of July event. Just people really enjoy that event, and moms with strollers.
That's right. You weren't here at the end of July, were you?
Yeah, pulling wagons.
So you brought that one onto yourself, dude.
You have these great emails when you ask me to come on the show.
It says,
from Eureka Office, and that's the first thing I'm going to open.
You know, anything that says from us, you ought to be jumping on.
There's no KINS. It's Eureka Office.
All right.
and I missed that one, and I caught it late, so I made sure that I'd be here this week with an action-packed.
So that's why you were here show. 3 minutes before 8. Oh, if somebody had an interesting show yesterday with Sherry Arkley, and she said when she and Rob come back to town after whatever period of time away, they see the changes because it's not incremental. It's, you know, every couple of months, so to speak. If somebody's been gone for the summer and they're coming back, what's going to be the biggest change they see in Fortuna?
I think a changing of the seasons. I had a consultant come in yesterday. We were talking about projects, so we walked through Roner Park as we were doing that. And to see the school kids leaving school, to see people exercising and running in the park, you really start to feel a change of the seasons. The evenings are getting a little cooler. So I'd say if you left in the summer and you're coming back now, you're going to feel the back to school mode and people
normalcy
really out
almost.
And active. Yeah, it was a shocker to see that yesterday from kind of a scattered schedule to people being organized again. And
yeah, there is a rites of the season, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when you get that separation. When you leave the area and then come back, what's the one thing you miss the most?
Probably the lack of congestion. I when you go anywhere else, there's a lot of people. You're waiting in lines. If you're going somewhere popular, there's traffic. And coming back here, it's a more relaxed pace, and I really enjoy that. And you appreciate it more when you come back.
Is Fortuna's infrastructure laid out to continue that as the city grows, or some of the commercial stuff we'll talk about, those developments start coming into play? Can Fortuna handle 20% growth and still not lose that character of being able to kind of bump along, to just kind of go putt, putt, putt and go from here to there without having some of those challenges?
That's an interesting question. I think so. We did a lot of prediction when we developed the city's general plan and looked at our growth numbers and thinking of projects and areas where we have congestion. You know, Fortuna's a small city. We really don't have a lot of congestion problems right now. If somebody sits at a stop sign or an intersection for 20 seconds, that's a really bad thing, right? They get upset about it. Or if they have to wait for somebody to merge at one intersection in town, it's kind of a big deal. So we have a pretty high there's a pretty high expectation in the city right now that things move well, people can drive through without delays. And, you know, we're doing quite a bit to plan for not creating traffic congestion. We're going to be starting. We started a project a couple of years ago looking at the interchanges. Those are one area that tends to get a lot of traffic and will get more traffic as the city builds out. And so we're trying to stay ahead of that with some of our congestion projects and by improving those interchanges, making them so they're less delay and easier flow. So right now, I think we're doing a good job towards staying ahead of that. And if we can do that and not make those intersections congested, we're trying to fix a really tricky intersection, or we have plans to, at the intersection of Newburgh and 12th Street. We don't have that one funded yet, but we've done some preliminary work. And I think fixing those kind of problems that people have seen for a long time go a long way to helping relieve that.
Almost the historical areas.
Yeah.
Rather than being concerned about a destination retailer but dropping in, and now all of a sudden you got 20% more traffic.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, he's been studying up. Yep. Yeah. No, maybe. We'll think about it.
Well, if somebody wants to drop in with a destination retailer, it's something we'll take a close look at.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24 on this August day. Merritt Perry
Not
is
April.
With us. Yeah, traffic flow is one of those things I think that a lot of folks don't really spend a lot of time with. Merritt, sidewalks. You know, if there's a crack or a bump, okay, you'll get somebody's attention. They'll be all over you. But by and large, taken for granted, probably even as much as pipes underneath the ground. You know, at least if there's a pipe there. When they get some attention, there's cones around and guys and, you know, flashing and big toys and all that kind of stuff. Or you see the remnants there and you go thump thump and you remember it every time you drive over that street. Okay. On the pecking order, where are sidewalks? Where is traffic flow? Where do people get excited about that kind of stuff? Or is it only after there's an issue?
You know, relative to other public utilities, people ignore water. They ignore sewer except when they don't work. Pipes are underground. You can't see them. But if your toilet backs up and it's because of the sewer collection system, oh, you hear about it. And people are very passionate about that. When somebody's water doesn't come on or we have a leak that we have to repair and somebody's water doesn't work, that's a big deal to them. That's an emergency in their mind. And it can be for a lot of reasons. But roads, they are visible and everybody drives on them. Everybody's an expert on roads. So every project you do on a roadway or a sidewalk, there's somebody who has a better idea of what could be done or how you should be doing it differently. But we haven't received a lot of criticism on our roadway projects. A lot of what we do for our roadways is maintenance. We do some paving. We have a little bit of money for paving. One thing that I've been really proud of is we've been doing a slurry seal project where we it's a slurry material that's mixed with an aggregate, and we've been doing maintenance courses over the city's roads, and you can cover.
You mean oil and rock? Mixed together?
Yeah, asphalt. It's a binder. But what it does is when you have roadways that are starting to crack and you see inflection cracking and things like that, it seals them up and you buy time so they don't go further backwards.
So it's the little stripes in the middle of the road?
Little stripes or even just kind of, it'll take some of the unevenness out. It's not like a new paved road and completely flat, but if you can stop a road from deteriorating and, you know, you might be able to go through and I forgot the cost. I think it's $4 a square yard. Maybe that's a little bit high. That's a little bit high, but you can do it for a small fraction of the cost. You can prevent, you can do preventative maintenance rather than reconstruction. Reconstruction can cost a lot more. And so to keep our roads where they're at, that's a big deal for us. We have about $1.5 million estimated of maintenance that we have to do every year. And we don't have nearly that much money. We have somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000 for projects.
So you need that big destination retailer to come into town.
Yeah. I mean, we'd like to see something like that. You know, of course we have to plan for it, do an environmental document and make sure that we're not going to create problems for the people who already live in the city. But I think the city council continues to support new business and wants to see new business come into the city. I think it's a big deal for them. They're very anxious to see somebody come in and do something with the Mill District. And I think that's one of the things we need to do is do some planning and assist the property owner with making that the development requirements and options become more clear so somebody can step in and understand what it would take to do something there.
Now, there's been a lot of interest in that property over the last 3 or 4 years. Is there anything starting to get traction or is it still out there kind of on the edges pending?
We had somebody who was really hot and heavy for a year or so, and they were looking at a manufacturing business that for lumber and flooring, and then they kind of dropped off. You know, so we put a lot of time and energy.
Did they say goodbye, or did they just stop making contact?
No goodbye, no card, no thanks for
really?
The. We did a revision to our general plan to clarify the noise ordinance that was there, and we did everything that was asked, and we spent a lot of time really trying to explain the requirements. Again, modified our general plan, and then you know kind of just dropped off. It sounded like it was something that could really happen, create over 100 jobs, and put people to work, and then it dropped off, and haven't heard much.
Really? Boy, yeah. I would make a phone call for three.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just say, you know, you guys, you know, if you're not with us, you're not with us. That's okay. How come? What changed? So we can learn, we can get a little something out of the time, effort, and treasure that we spent to know, was it something we did? Was it market changes? Was another opportunity? What happened so that we don't replicate this the next time?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't have a copy of their business plan, and I don't know. It sounded like on paper it penciled out for them, and that's why they were interested. I think I started looking at that when I first came on to the city in 2014, and then it dropped off probably about 6 or 8 months ago. So quite some time that we kind of entertained
that's questions. A chunk of time.
Yeah, and it wasn't a huge effort. I mean, there was effort spent, and we, again, when anybody wants to come in with a development project, we want to do what we can to let them know, hey, here's what would have to happen on our side. Here's how you can proceed, and really give them a path forward. And you know, I don't have a good sense of what happened. It sounded like they had investors lined up. They were interested in the property and talking with the property owner. You know, personal things definitely were one of the issues raised. His, you know, the person who was doing the project, he had health issues on and off, and so he left and came back a couple of times. And I think
that'll kill a project.
Yeah,
if, you know, somebody's incapacitated.
My sense is you get to that point where it's either go time or not, and you know, he never stepped over that line and spent real money on developing the project.
So in that scenario, are there others that you'll reach out to that do similar? And say, hey, we're down that trail a little bit?
I think what we need to do for that project is really identify what the planning requirements would be, what the infrastructure requirements would be, and then let private industry determine what the best use for that site is.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Interim City Manager for the City of Fortuna, Merritt Perry. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and American Ag Credit. Some of the, I guess, the challenges that are out there, Merritt, around either commercial or residential development, there's so many different levels. And I think most of us go, oh, okay, it's the builders. Okay, it's the roads. Okay, it's this, it's that. When you look at the potential of Fortuna, and there's certainly a ton of potential that's still out there, what do you see if there was a linchpin? Would it be residential? Would it be infrastructure? Would it be commercial? Would it be light manufacturing? If you could etch-a-sketch all the problems in one sector, and that would then start the tidal wave coming, is there one?
You know, I kind of look at it from the opposite way, not to dodge your question, but I look at it, what do we need to do to keep our development and our city vibrant and successful? And I look at the things that are working for us now, and I look at desirable communities that people want to live in. People want a safe community, and we've heard that from the public, and I think that's a big deal. And I think planning development in the city so that it can be a desirable place to live is a really big deal. There's a lot of people that seek out Fortuna because it's clean, because it's safe, and they like the small town feel of it, and they feel comfortable there. And so I think we have to preserve that with new projects. And I think that's something that's taken up by the Planning Commission and developers. We still have quite a bit of development land for single-family residences and multifamily residences. So I think we'll continue to see that growing in Fortuna, and I think continuing to make sure that our services can accommodate those is a pretty big deal. I think in the long term, one of the harder ones to stay in front of, like you mentioned, is traffic. I mean, people don't want to see congestion, and we talked a little bit a while ago about that. But I think how can we provide that infrastructure so people don't see the undesirable impacts like traffic? I do think it's important. You don't want to be a bedroom community. So if you see residential development continue, and we're moving at a pretty quick pace right now, you don't want to see all your trips to the store be people going from Fortuna to Eureka. You want to see that investment in your community, and you want to see retail grow with your residential. So I think trying to, provide a welcome place for people to do business and support businesses that are already there is a really big deal, so people can live and work in the same city and you don't see a mass exodus on the freeway every morning.
That's what I was going to get to. I don't think a lot of folks, and same with McKinleyville, I would presume. It's not that they're driving to Eureka to buy, it's that they're working in Eureka and they're driving home. Where's the most convenient place to get blank?
Right.
And if you're driving by it, by definition, that's going to be pretty darn easy to take care of. You mentioned that. I wonder, where does the business employment services, professional services, things of that nature start to fill in to make a community self-sustaining, I guess would be a term. Is there just a population mass that you got to have a community of 20,000 or 25,000 or 5,000 to be able to stand on your own? Any idea? I mean, is there a magic number?
I don't know the answer to that. I know there's certain businesses that won't locate in a community if they don't see enough daily trips going by. For example, we almost had a Dairy Queen that came in a few years back, and they didn't believe the Caltrans highway numbers of people they might be able to pull off the freeway, so they pulled the plug on the owner who was trying to develop that franchise. Also, other chain stores, that's a tough one for Fortuna because they may not want to locate there. But grocery outlet that came in recently, and they are doing a brisk business. They're doing really well. Every time I go in there and talk to the owner, their sales are good and they're doing well. I didn't bring it with me, but we got a recent sales tax summary, and they listed some of the top businesses. And you look at some of the top ones, businesses like Tractor Supply, should be Hummel Tire,
Larger items.
So a lot of the businesses, there is a lot of sales tax generated there. And I think the number one thing that we can do is support the businesses that we have and try to make them successful. It's a lot harder to pull somebody in. And so that's one thing that I feel really strongly about when we see somebody struggling, whether it's building a new facility for their business or, dealing with a permitting issue and their businesses that are already there. To me, that is the number one area that if we put in effort, we'll get a return. We are going to keep that business there. And just talking to those business owners, what's your problem? What are you having a problem with?
Probably a big deal.
It's a big deal. And and when they feel supported, I tried to call this morning, the business wasn't open, but there's a business that's trying to build a new shop. And, we had a number of comments on their building permit. And I wanted to give them the heads up and let them know that, hey, we had a number of issues. You're going to have to stay on top of this. I know you guys are in a hurry, and here's what they are, and explain it and let them know that they've got a partner on the other side. I think it's a big deal. And
rather than a combatant.
Rather than, here's all this red tape, good luck with your project. It's like, hey, we saw this, here's all the comments, and here, this is coming. So if you want to get on it sooner than later, just giving people a heads up and letting them know that you're watching their project and you want it to succeed too, I think goes a long way. So somebody isn't inclined to just throw in the towel and go somewhere else that it might be easier.
Is there a strategy for smaller towns and a suburb town? And certainly in some communities, there's a zero at the end of the population. They still consider themselves the suburbs. But to reach out to larger businesses in the larger region, say, hey, if you're ever considering expanding, we'd love to be able to sit down and talk to you and show you some of the advantages and where we would suggest, based on traffic flow, based on whatever the matrix might be, why you might want to consider Fortuna as an expansion area instead of possible other locations. Is there manpower to do that?
We're a small city, and as you know, right now we don't have a full-time city. I'm the interim city manager, also public works director. We have a small staff. Our community development department has two, I think, an engineering department I have two. So we don't have a huge staff to go out and do economic development. But I think if everybody's thinking in that mindset that, if everybody has that in mind, is doing their best to work on that, incorporate that into their everyday routine, that's what we can do.
Becomes routine.
Yeah, it becomes routine, right. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, it's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Mary, what does vibrancy look like in a town? I mean, I've got my definition, but from your perspective, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? How do you know you got it?
It's interesting you ask that question. I mentioned earlier my walkthrough, Roner Park in Fortuna happened to be when the kids were getting out of school, and there were people seeing the youth out being active, walking the streets comfortably, seeing people exercise in the park and running sprints, seeing the youth in the community and a healthy environment for them. To me, that really epitomizes a vibrant community. I don't think you could, there was also people of all ages out enjoying walks in the park with their dogs and beautiful day. And to me, that was vibrancy. The sprinklers were on, the water was flowing, the grass is green, there's people using the other fields, the whole place was being used, it wasn't crowded, it was kind of a perfect balance of age and activity and maintenance. And I think that's a picture of vibrancy. You want to see vibrancy, go look at Roner Park in Fortuna in the afternoon.
So on the flip side, what is a town that needs vibrancy? What does that look like or feel like?
And these are my personal opinions, necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, what about a community where you have a park?
Not the opinions of this station.
Yeah, or the station. you know, how about we've all been to a park and there's nobody there. You know, there's people who aren't there using the facilities. You know, when you have a, you know, when there's not people that can use the things that the community provides, that's not vibrant. I mean, you start seeing things get mothballed. It amazes me. You see, you know, shows on television where they're doing things across the country. You see these beautiful brick buildings and you see this place that was once vibrant and booming and there's commercial activity and there's nobody there and they're mothballing these buildings that would cost, you know, millions of dollars to build here and no one wants them anymore. You know, so, you know, you need to have a lot of things, but if there's jobs that keep people in your community that make them that give them the ability to raise a family there and that, you know, that succession of business and family, I think that's what's really important.
For me, it's gutters. Are they clean or do they have weeds?
Mm-hmm.
It's storefronts.
Yeah.
You know, not only are they occupied, but do they have plywood on them or are they, you know, being maintained, I guess.
Yeah.
And paint. What's the condition of the homes, the residential, the commercial, and those structures? Does it look like somebody cares?
Absolutely. Something else that I was recognizing that. I was walking back, you know, kind of the easterly side of Fortuna off of Main Street, and you see a lot of people with, they take pride in ownership. There's people there with, you know, boats in their driveway. There's people that have their lawn mowed. They have nice landscaping with irrigation. People care about the appearance of their property. And they don't park, you know, Grant, we have neighborhoods. Some neighborhoods are better than others, but there's a lot of people that demonstrate pride and ownership.
No cinder blocks in the front yard. Is that what you were going to say?
Cars.
See everybody tomorrow.